Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by CISO. What's the best thing you've bought for $3.99? Because I bought CISO. And CISO has a nearly endless supply of top shelf comedy, literally months worth of exclusive originals, face melting stand up, next day late night, and a great catalog of classics. Last night I watched some SNL. It was awesome. I love this season, and CISO is the way to get it. CISO, it's spelled S-E-E-S-O, is the new ad-free streaming service bringing you hilarious original series, weeks of stand-up specials, and more. Bingeable comedy. You know you want to binge this December. You got all the time in the world. So do it right now. Go to CISO.com. You get free for 2 months when you use the promo code PMT at checkout. Just go to CISO, CISO.com right now to sign up for 2 months with the promo code PMT at checkout. That's CISO.com, promo code PMT. This episode is also brought to you by DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com has a huge contest coming up this Sunday with over $100,000 in total prizes being given out. It's Wednesday and you don't know if your starting running back is hurt or injured going into this Sunday. Not to worry. DraftKings.com has you covered with 1 week fantasy football where you can pick a new team every single week. That means no season long commitments to busts like Danny Woodhead. Play your buddies in head to head contests or try 50-50 contests. Go right now, DraftKings.com today. Use the code BIGCAT to play for free with your first deposit this weekend. That's code BIGCAT to play for free for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes this weekend. Only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. DraftKings.com. Put in that promo code BIGCAT. Let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Wednesday, December 7th. If you're cold out there, good news, it's hot stove season.
Yes, and it's advent calendar season, which is nice. It gives you a little chocolate to start the day.
Yeah.
I wouldn't normally have this piece of candy, but 'tis the season.
I actually have had a lot of chocolate today, no surprise. So if I sound like I have a little frog in my throat, it's actually just chocolate.
Well, I mean,
you get chocolate throat?
You're celebrating Advent.
You ever get happy Advent. You ever get a little chocolate throat? You can feel it. All right, hot stove. Bryce Harper, the Nats have said they're moving on.
Is that what they really said?
Yeah, they kind of said that. $40 million.
You know what? That's the headline. That's what the headline said, and that's as far as I read into any article. So Bryce Harper going to look great in pinstripes.
Okay, so has there ever been a move that more people? So when Bryce Harper signs with the Yankees, has there ever been a move that more people are going to say they called than Bryce Harper to the Yankees? Because I think 90% of the world has called Bryce Harper's going to look good in pinstripes at some point.
Yeah, I think, no, you're probably right. Like, if you look back over the course of history, this is the biggest prediction that everybody will get right.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's basically the sun will rise, and Bryce Harper will look good in pinstripes.
Yeah, and, I mean, I'm going to hate rooting for him on the Yankees, but I think I'm going to have to, because he's just great. You have to root for greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to go against him.
The heel move. The other big move was Chris Sale got traded from the White Sox to the Red Sox. Nice. He only has to change the color of his socks.
Mm-hmm.
You can save that one.
That's a nice one. He'll be cutting up the jerseys.
Oh,
making
another
slight
nice
alterations
yes.
to the Red Sox ones. He was the original Big Country. You guys remember that?
Yes.
Yep.
So I looked up his stats. The dude is 6'6 and weighs 180 pounds.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, he could slip into a crack.
His BMI is like 5.
He also is a white sunglasses guy.
Oh,
so
really?
Be careful about that, Hank. White sunglasses, you got to watch out for whites. Sunglasses guys, they got weird tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
They're always looking for a fight.
Not really the barbed wire tattoo. It's like the tribal tattoo
yeah,
that goes around where the barbed wire. They had a barbed wire tattoo, and they're like, That's lame now. I'm going to upgrade to a tribal.
A Friday night out is like drinking in the back of their F-150. That's a white sunglasses guy.
Best friends with a 14-year-old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're not, yeah. Girl or guy?
Wasn't he best Both, friends probably. With what's
his name? Oh, Drake, yeah. So is Drake, is, yeah, yeah, is Drake coming to...
I thought you meant white sunglasses guys, because I feel like white sunglasses guys always have some underage girls around.
They do, or they're always calling... underage girls, yeah. And they never quite get through. Right.
It's their buddy's daughter.
No, you know what it is. Yeah, it's their buddy's daughter, and they're like, I'm going to hang out with this chick. She just wants me to come over with two cases of beer, and then we're going to hang out later, and then they drop the beer off, and then he leaves.
Yeah, she's only 16. You can have a couple beers, but only a couple because you're only 16.
White sunglasses guy gets used for beer for high schoolers. Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
Without a doubt.
So Drake is probably coming to the Red Sox, right? Yeah. He's going to be living in, I got to assume that they travel as a package. The question now is, are the Red Sox in win now mode?
Ooh.
Yes.
Hank? Yeah?
Is it win? Absolutely.
They've traded all their prospects. Do they have a window?
Luckily, their third best pitcher just won the Cy Young.
Yeah.
Do they have a window or what?
Yeah, it's like 2 or 3 years.
Okay, so they're win now.
I actually do feel bad for White Sox fans because Chris Sale, not a once in a lifetime pitcher, but he's a Cy Young pitcher, you know, dominant guy, never played in the playoffs. That's always tough.
Yeah, you hate to see that with a great talent.
And I also, Hank, are you at all nervous about the clubhouse? Going to be talking a lot about the clubhouse because you take away David Ortiz, clubhouse guy.
David
Ortiz. Put in Chris Sale, not a clubhouse guy.
No, I'm not worried.
Okay. Stay woke on this one. David Ortiz might pull Roger Clemens, come back halfway through.
Yes. Oh, I think he absolutely will.
I think he'll still be in the clubhouse in some capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David, he might not be playing, but he might just be filming
Dunkin' Donuts commercials.
Yeah. He's a baseball lifer.
Right. All right. So, finally, we have to say, Andrew McCutchen. There's a lot of mystery teams out there for him.
Mm-hmm.
So mystery teams are back. It's not as good as the trade deadline in the middle of summer, but there is some mystery teams for hot stove season.
Now, where did the term hot stove come from?
I don't know. Yeah.
I feel like it was like the Lincoln era.
The Lincoln era.
They needed hot stoves to, heat up the winter.
Yeah, back in the 1800s, you needed hot stoves to get hot.
19th century, small town America. During the winter, people gathered at the general store post office, sat around an iron pot-bellied stove and discussed the passing parade. Baseball, along with weather, politics, the police blotter, and the churches belonged in their company.
It was the original water cooler.
Yeah, it was the original comment section, too.
That's true.
Yeah, everyone's just sitting around the hot stove talking.
Yeah, saying, first.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well,
Pepe Le Frog.
I learned something today.
That was great. Okay. We just taught everyone hot stove. I was really nervous that it was going to be just like something we all should have known. But that's a really dumb piece of trivia.
Mm-hmm.
That you can now talk about at your water cooler.
Yeah. Or your hot stove.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to bring the hot stove back.
Let's get a stove
and replace the water cooler with it.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. It is bowl season. We want to do this a little game. Bowl season's upon us. There's a million bowls. Hey, have you ever heard about someone complaining about how many bowls there are?
No, that's another one people don't do.
Great, right. You know what? Shut the fuck up, people who complain about too many bowls.
Oh, there's too much football.
Free football is always good. Mm-hmm. If there's something, oh my God, I don't want to have another game I can bet on a Tuesday afternoon when I don't want to talk to my family over the holiday season. Yeah. Shut up.
You know what my favorite part of bowl season is when the teams, they're finding out which bowls they're invited to, and they do the thing like you see in when the selection committee does March Madness. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all in a room together, and they're a dozen shitty bowls that are coming out that they're really hoping not to go to, and then there's the Bahamas Bowl at the end, and that's the one everyone wants
Popeyes.
To get. It's a shitty bowl, but it's in the Bahamas. Nice.
It's not in Idaho. Idaho Potato Bowl.
Going to go dip the tip, mm-hmm. wet the beak in the Bahamas.
All right, so here's the game. Because there's so many bowls, no one can keep track of the bowls. I have five bowls written down. You guys are going to say fake or real.
Okay.
That's the name of the game.
Okay.
Fake or real?
BCS or BS?
There we go. BCS or BS. Okay. Let's start. Ready? You ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. The Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. This is Nebraska versus Tennessee.
That sounds real.
Not real.
Okay. It is real.
Yeah.
By the way, Nebraska, Tennessee, that's going to be a fun time if it was 1997.
Mm-hmm. Those are two teams that are always on the cusp of being back.
Yeah. Those teams, yeah.
They should invite the old coaches back for that one.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time.
The old timers game.
Maybe Nebraska can start doing steroids again and they'd be good.
Love it.
The San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl. BYU and
Wyoming.
That's
a pretty specific audience, isn't it? The San Diego County Credit Union?
Yeah.
So like they're targeting 70,000. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say fake.
Okay. It was real. Oh, yes. Okay. Wow, 1-1. Here's one. Here's a mouthful. The Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. App State versus Toledo.
That's real.
Fake.
It's real.
Fuck.
How about the New Mexico Bowl?
So these are all real. That's the game.
How about the New Mexico Bowl?
That's real.
New Mexico versus Texas San Antonio.
Real.
Real.
That's fake. No, it's actually real. And then the final one is the Nova Home Loan Arizona Bowl. South Alabama versus Air Force. You're going to want to tune to that one, folks.
That's real.
Okay, yeah, okay, those are
so,
all real.
So the trick is they're all real.
Yeah, and that's some random bowl games that we have out there.
That was great.
Yeah. Well, you don't like that?
It was like Chip or Chump.
Yeah.
Remember when we played that with Big Ant?
Yeah, right, exactly. So there are some weird, bad bowl games. And I also like that they have, I think there's some 5-7 teams in some bowl games.
Well, yeah, you got to make some room. Now, my second favorite part behind finding out about the Popeyes Bowl is finding out what's in the bags, the gift bags that you get.
Yes.
That's Darren Revelle. That's his Christmas, is finding out, like, how many pairs of Bose headphones each person got.
How many gift cards to Best Buy and watches that you don't want.
And, hey, you're not allowed to resell the things that you get in those gift bags.
Except for Ohio State.
It's a violation.
Yeah.
I also really enjoy the jingle ESPN plays every single commercial.
Yes.
The bowl season
one. Oh, good call, Hank. Mm-hmm. That is my favorite. And they have all the like random teams running around. It gets the juices flowing. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, wow, I'm going to lose so much money this bowl season.
I this is usually the time of year that I do really well in gambling, actually.
Okay. Way to brag.
First 2 weeks of bowl season. That's when you make your money.
that's if you say it confidently enough, people will believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah, just bet the smaller conferences in college basketball, that's where you make your money.
That's right.
Yeah, they don't know that those lines aren't sharp enough.
That's right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Hot Seat Cool Throne, a regular Wednesday Hot Seat Cool Throne. This one is sponsored by the Beef O'Brady's Bowl. Check it out, Bowling Green versus Washington State. That one's fake.
No, that was real.
No, that one is fake.
The Beef O'Brady's?
Yeah, it's fake.
Did they cancel the Beef O'Brady's?
Yeah, it's now the St. Petersburg Bowl.
What about the Belk Bowl? Is that still around?
Oh, yeah.
Love the
Belk
Bowl.
Bad memories of the Belk Bowl. Yeah. that's the thing. I have all, like, even the Popeyes Bowl. I had Western Michigan or whatever last year, Western Kentucky. I got screwed so bad in that bowl game. So they all, I'm triggered. All bowl season, I'm just triggered by bad betting memories.
Well, it's a chance that you take when you're sponsoring a bowl game. Like, you could have the worst beat of all time, and then everybody out there will associate your brand with losing a shitload of money.
Right, exactly, and that's the Belk.
As opposed to the other mortgage,
what does Belk do besides
mortgage and loan companies that sponsor where you don't associate it with that.
okay, let's do Hot Seat Cool Throne. Hank, you're going to start?
Yeah, my hot seat, Shia LaBeouf. He was kicked out of Atlanta by Soulja Boy. He got in a little rap beef. Soulja Boy.
That's the wackest rap beef I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Soulja Boy and Shia LaBeouf. I would take Shia LaBeouf in that beef, by the way.
Why is Soulja Boy getting in a rap beef with Shia LaBeouf?
Because Shia LaBeouf.
It's LaBeouf, by the way.
Shia LaBeouf. Dissed him. Boof. He dissed him on radio doing promo.
Oh, can't have that.
Shia LaBeouf made it. I mean, Soulja Boy made an Instagram video saying he's not allowed in Atlanta, and if he comes in, he's going to get rolled up on. So
that was a rap beef I didn't need to know existed, but now I'm here.
Shia's last name, it translates to the beef. In French, that's true. So,
Le Bouf.
Saw this one coming.
Mm-hmm. Cool throne.
Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah.
The Red Sox traded Travis Shaw.
Pablo's back.
Pablo's back.
How's his weight looking?
Yeah, that's the thing.
He's skinny.
He's not skinny.
He lost like 40 pounds.
Skinnier.
Skinnier than he was last year.
Who was he getting his picture taken next to when you saw him?
Good question. I don't remember.
It was probably Ortiz, and he looks skinny.
We actually, we have PJ Fleck on the show today. We went up, and there's a coaches conference, and I pussied out at the last second, but I saw Brett Bielema. I was going to get a picture next to him just so I could frame it.
Yeah.
So I'd look pretty skinny.
You guys have the same body type. He's just like...
He's just going all the way.
A 20% bigger version of
him. He was also wearing a really nice leather jacket, which is...
Oh, sweet.
It's an interesting move when you're that big.
You know what?
Because you look like a cow.
He bought that jacket just for New York. That's a New York trip jacket.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wear that shit in Arkansas.
Yeah, you leave that in New York.
Yeah.
and no one can fit into it.
Yeah.
Actually...
It's a tent.
It could keep someone warm for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You should donate that. What do you got, Hot Seat Cool Throne?
Hot Seat Trees.
Oh.
Christmas tree season.
Ah.
So they're getting cut down left and right. Hate to see that happen to the trees.
Yeah.
I actually used to be a Christmas tree salesman. That was my first job.
Really?
Yeah. I
must have been tough to convince people to buy a Christmas tree.
You'd be surprised. Like, you gotta talk them into it sometimes. You know, like, you gotta.
Oh, really? They come to the lot for the Christmas trees, and they're like, they don't know if they want one.
Yeah, and then they're like, you know, I might just go down the road and get a Douglas fir instead of a Fraser fir. And you're like, no, here's why you gotta get the Fraser fir. This tree kicks ass because the needles smell better. It's a real.
Did
Christmas
you actually
tree.
Say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd be like, the Douglas tree is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let my mother buy a Douglas fir, so I'm not going to let you buy one.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, trees, yep.
My cool throne is eggnog. I love eggnog.
Yeah.
I am a huge eggnog fan.
Drink all that cum.
Yeah. We actually, so I got a big thing of eggnog. I went to a friend's house yesterday, and she made her own. And so she sent me home with some of it, right? But it was in a Tupperware thing. So I'm riding the subway with a big Tupperware thing. It looks like I'm carrying a good 16 ounces of jizz home.
Yeah.
I got a few looks, but you know, hey, only in New York.
Eggnog season.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. I'm going to drink this gross, thick, creamy liquid. It's Milk Boys, though.
Dude, it's delicious.
Yeah. Okay. I actually had a, before I do mine, I had a question for you guys. Do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick might be on the cool throne now?
As a backup, yeah.
Yeah, so he sucks.
He's got another 10 years in this league as a backup.
Right. He is a he should be a backup forever because he's smart enough. He went to Harvard.
Yeah.
And he should be a backup.
That's what we were saying earlier with like Case Keenum. You get your name out there as a starter for like four games.
Little film.
All of a sudden, you're one of the premier backups in the league.
Right. Matt Barkley's doing it right now.
Yep.
All right. So my hot seat, temperature wars. We actually got into one in the office just a few minutes ago.
Okay.
It's cold now, so that means whether you're in the office or at home with your family, you're probably in a pretty bitter temperature war. Someone wants it a little too hot.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe want a little cold. The old people and the women, not to point fingers, usually want the heat up.
Mm-hmm.
I like no
Such
heat.
Such a woman move.
I like to just feel like I'm out in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
kind of a badass move. But yeah, we have temperature wars going to the office, and I'm sure everyone else does at their office.
Yeah, I like to keep it below 70.
Yeah,
at all costs. Most people, I find women, they do like it like 72, 73 degrees.
Yeah, what are we in the Bahamas?
Yeah, come on,
chill out.
Give me a break. Also, how has human society not reached the point where we have like dual comfort zones for living rooms? We have them in cars.
Oh.
Would it kill you to put one like in a bed?
Yes.
Like have one side of the bed at set to a certain temperature, the other at a different.
I like it.
I like it hot.
Oh yeah.
That's a weird move.
Yeah, it's a very weird move.
But you guys are also a lot, you know, thicker.
What are you trying to say?
You got, Hank's also
my got, blood is thicker.
Hank's a millennial, so he's from a softer generation. Mm-hmm. So he, you know,
you wouldn't
Hank
get
likes
it.
To have his skin coddled.
Yeah. You guys have more blubber. That's what I'm
blubber.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I call it mass.
Yeah. I call it strength.
Mm-hmm.
Cool throne drinking on weekdays. December, you can get drunk every single night of the week.
Yeah.
It's just holiday parties and outings and catching up with old friends.
Yeah, Hank, you know what I do instead of turning the temperature up? I drink a beer to stay warm. Okay.
But drinking on weekdays is back, and you don't have to feel bad about it.
Did it ever leave,
really?
Everyone
in your office is doing it.
It never really left.
Nah, it sometimes leaves.
Drinking on weekdays, that's just living life in America.
Yeah, man. At some point you don't want to be the guy who's always getting drunk on a weekday, but December, you can be that guy.
Okay,
that guy is a fun time.
Okay.
All right, let's do a couple quick interviews. We have Chael Sonnen talking about Bellator and fighting, MMA fighting. And then we have the hottest name in all of coaching world, also a hot guy, PJ Fleck, Western Michigan head coach.
Wow, that intro took a weird turn.
First, let's do some ads.
Are you struggling to find the perfect gift for someone who has it all? The holidays are fast approaching, and you can order gifts for everyone on your list with a click of a mouse. I want to tell you guys about it. I got a package in the mail the other day. It was loaded with delicious steaks, delicious pork chops, chicken breasts, and it was all courtesy of Omaha Steaks. They are great. You should try them too. Right now, they've got an exclusive savings just to my listeners. This is incredible, okay? You're going to get this for less than $50, all this stuff. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus you get four additional kielbasa sausages for free. That's 77% savings. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code PARDON, PARDON, in the search bar, add the family gift pack, get 77% off. It's a gift that's guaranteed to be a hit. Stance has turned one of the world's most boring accessories, socks, into one of its most exciting by turning them into a canvas for self-expression. By underpinning its creative roots with a relentless focus on technical innovation, Stance has redefined what socks should feel like and the role they play in personal style. They're headquartered in San Clemente in Southern California. They were founded in 2009. Now they're sold in over 40 countries. They've ignited a movement of art and self-expression that's drawn athletes, performers, and iconic cultural influencers to the brand, a group they call the Punks and the Poets. Sounds pretty cool. They include Dwayne Wade, awesome guy, Rihanna, Bubba Watson, Willow Smith, so cool, SoCo, James Harden, Chris Cole, and Big Sean. They're the official sock on court of the NBA and the on-field sock of Major League Baseball. What I like about it, they say L and R on your socks, so you know which one's left, which one's right. And Stance has a great offer for you. You go to stance.com, that's stance.com, and they're going to hook you up with the Christmas delivery. It's going to get there before, if you order before the 20th, you're going to be able to get your socks before Christmas. It's awesome. Give it a shot. stance.com.
All right, we now welcome on Chael Sonnen from Bellator, and he is actually promoting this Submission Underground 2, which is live on flowgrappling.com December 11th at 5:30 Eastern Time. Talk to us about that first, because we are not big, we're MMA fans, but we don't know the details of the sport. So tell us what exactly is going on.
Guys, I'll give it to you real fast. So think MMA, and in this case, on Sunday, we've got John Jones versus Dan Henderson. So what we do here is we take their best weapons away from them. John Jones, his diverse and unpredictable elbows and knee strikes, we take that away. Dan Henderson, known for that big right hand that he's put so many people to sleep with, we take that away. They can grapple only. Now, anything goes in the grappling realm. Any takedown, any slam, any suplex, chokeholds, joint manipulations, arm locks, leg locks, toe holds, you name it. If you can make your opponent say, uncle, it's fair game, but no striking.
Okay. So it's just it's a hybrid wrestling.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, okay. It's hybrid wrestling. We call it submission grappling because they are looking for submissions as opposed to scoring points like taking Olympic wrestling atmosphere. But yeah, man, it's pretty well. I love it. I've been doing it myself for a long time. I love it. It's a lot of fun. It's a very high pace.
So speaking of submissions, I've always kind of wondered this about training for a big fight. You know how when you're going into the police academy, they make every officer get tased so they know what it feels like? When you're training for a fight, do you have to get put in like a chokehold? Do you have to get armbarred to like know what your tolerance for that pain is and know what to expect?
Well, you get in those positions more just so you know the application of the hold and how to get out of them. But not purely for a pain perspective. No, I think it's great for the cops. They do that so that nobody just goes around willy-nilly pulling out these tasers. They understand it's pretty serious business, and even an assailant is going to feel that. So, no, I don't know that it's completely the same metaphorically, but to your point, yeah, you got to go through all those experiences, all those practice scenarios, anything that you think could happen in the cage or in the ring, and try to get it out of the way in the practice room.
Here's a great question to follow up on that. When you're getting choked, have you ever thought about just like reaching down and pounding off real quick just to see what autoerotic asphyxiation feels like?
Did you declare your question a great one before you even asked?
That's a journalist.
It's an old journalist trick.
We do it all the time.
I mean, I'd have to assume you think all your questions are great.
No. We'll tell you. We'll tell you when a great question comes
up. It sounds like you're ducking the autoerotic asphyxiation question.
Yeah, answer the question. Answer the great question. Do you jerk off?
Sometimes you acknowledge the other way, like before you ask it, where you say, you know, this is a really stupid question.
Yes. I've done that before.
Yeah, I have a stupid question coming up. I have a stupid question coming up, but first answer this one. You ever jerk off while you're getting choked out?
Now, I got to tell you, when you said you reached down and pounded, I really did think you meant, like, you know, the mat or the ring. I did not know that it was an erotic. I didn't understand. So I'm gonna pass.
Okay.
I'm gonna pass on the question. But let's hear the stupid one.
All right, yeah, so here's a stupid question. How much does an armbar hurt?
Man, it hurts pretty bad. You know, you have to understand when you
really
have your arm, which isn't a terribly big limb, against the pressure of the other guy's entire body. He's wrapping his legs around it, he's using his hips, he's pulling down with his arms. It's every bit of strength he has versus your one arm. Yeah, it's pretty bad, man. There's a reason when guys get stretched out, they tap.
Have you ever gotten your arm broken?
I've never had a broken arm from that. I've had it in like amateur wrestling, which is a different part of the arm, not right there at the bend. But I've seen other guys, and I don't envy it.
Mm-hmm. Got it. The fight that everybody's talking about this week is the human versus the kangaroo. Have you seen that yet?
No.
You got to check this out. So there was a kangaroo that was trying to basically take out a guy's dog down in Australia, and the guy saw it, went out, and just squared up with it and just punched the kangaroo in the jaw. And the kangaroo just got stunned and stopped and let everybody go. I was going to give you some animals, and just imagine that they're all the same size as humans, and you tell me what type of strategy you'd use to fight them. Is that all right?
All right.
Okay. If a human-sized dog, what would you do?
Foot.
Ooh. Okay.
That's fucked up, man.
Yeah. I mean, dog's man's best friend, but yeah. Okay.
Hey, I'm not crazy about the question. I'm playing along with the
parameters. I know, we're just messing with you.
I got to get into the mix with the dog.
Yeah, we're just messing with you.
I got to use my foot because I'm likely to have a shoe on and I'm likely to have a pant on. And if it bites me, I don't want to stick my hand in the mix.
The real answer from a real fighter myself, I would just snap its windpipe. Boom. Dog's dead.
Boom. Done.
Okay. Horse.
Shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Good choice. Okay. Spider.
Again, you know, I got to go back to the foot.
You didn't let me finish. It's Anderson Silva.
Again, foot.
Yeah,
foot. Still uses the foot.
All right, yeah, that's the end of my lightning.
I was going to step on his head for the second question. I'll stick the foot straight up his ass. But yes, foot all the same.
Okay. So Conor McGregor, obviously one of the most electric guys in all of sports right now. You actually, I mean, you kind of were Conor McGregor before Conor McGregor. Do you ever regret not having an Irish accent?
No, man. I think he's great. I think he paid attention. He saw what was working. He grabbed it and ran with it. And I think he's taken it to a much higher level. I'm a big supporter and I'm a big fan, man. He's entertaining.
Follow up to that. Do you think that he sometimes embellishes the Irish accent just to kind of stand out a little bit?
Conor McGregor, also foot straight up the ass.
So Chael, you have cauliflower ear, do you not?
I do.
Okay. Do you think that intimidates people?
Yeah, I think that definitely intimidates people. Maybe not in this atmosphere. I don't know if the rough guys that I associate with look at that and would be intimidated. But yes, when I was walking around school at 12 years old with a cauliflower ear, it was a message. Don't mess with that guy.
I agree. Every time I see a cauliflower ear, I cross the street.
Yeah. Is there any way, like any tips you have for guys like being Big Cat here to like give ourselves cauliflower ear without having to actually, you know, do any of the work of fighting people?
Yeah, you know, those ears swell up pretty quick if you just irritate it. If you just reach up with your hand and rub it a few times pretty vigorously, it'll pop up. But you don't want to do that.
I mean, just for the intimidation.
You don't
want to
walk around looking like a fool. Us wrestlers think it looks cool, but we're the only ones.
Are babes into it, or are babes kind of creeped out by it?
You know, I suppose it just depends. My wife thought it was kind of cool, but she's probably unique. I would say that it's probably not a great thing to have.
Hey, so I don't know if you're familiar with the show at all. We do most of our research before every interview just by reading Wikipedia. So this question might be based not in fact. But I read that you at one point considered running for Congress. Is that correct?
I ran for Congress. I won in the primary. I was in the general election, which I would have swept as well, but I had to pull out because I had a legal issue.
So
I
emails?
Left office the only way you should leave office, gentlemen, and that's in handcuffs.
You have an email scandal?
Like that.
Did you Benghazi anybody?
If you're doing your job, you're leaving there with the boys in suits.
I like that. Okay. I like that a lot.
That's my strategy. Like, if I ever go to a strip club, I never want to leave just like on my own volition.
Right.
I never want to be like, okay, it's time for me to leave. I want to be asked.
You didn't
leave.
Get your money's worth otherwise. Yeah. That's right.
Anybody can do that.
Yeah. This is also a dumb question because we're like I said, we're MMA noobs, if you will. Just logistically speaking, how long does it take to train for a fight?
Well, I mean, it's a skill set that you work on your whole life. For example, I started in the combat arts at 9 years old, and I think most guys would have a story like that where they started as children. Now, once you establish those skill sets and you get your techniques down, to actually train for a fight would, 8 weeks is pretty common. Manny Pacquiao spends about 6.5. He recently shortened that. Freddie Roach used to train him about 10 weeks.
He realized he could peak in about 6.5, but anywhere from that 8 to 12 weeks. And all you're talking about there is just getting in shape, just really pushing that cardio and getting in shape.
So no eating, you know, fried food and all that stuff. No drinking beer.
Well, you know, I think that you could do that. I don't know how much nutrition has to really do with anything. I think most of the guys that preach the book of nutrition are looking to do just that, sell books. I'm not sure that there's any validity that you can't eat fats or saturated or carbohydrates. That's all a bunch
strong
of
crap. I could be a fighter then.
Strong agree. I need you to be my trainer. Eat whatever you want and just you got to jump rope every now and then?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you got a weight limit. If you're in line, you got to make the weight limit. But there's really no proof that bananas and nuts are any better for you than Big Macs and fries. If you can make the weight, you can make the weight.
What's a heavyweight? What is what did Butterbean weigh at when he was fighting?
Butterbean was super heavyweight, which is a class that isn't contested very often. But super heavyweight, I don't believe, has a limit. I think that's even called unlimited, which is the reason promoters don't get behind it. But heavyweight, as you would know it, like take Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, or what we use in the UFC, would cap off at 265.
You can make that.
I can make that.
You can make that weight easy.
You just got to jump rope a little bit.
Yeah, give you a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I read that you lost 32 pounds in 20 days. Is that true?
36.2 pounds in 21 days. And it was the single worst experience of my existence on this planet. And I don't know how to say it any clearer. It was terrible.
What did you do? Like, you just didn't eat? What, I mean, how do you lose that much weight?
You gotta rub one out like all the time, get all those ounces out.
Yeah.
That's the secret to put you over the top.
36.2 pounds in 21 days was tough. It wasn't not eating, but it was definitely calorie deprivation, multiple workouts a day. And then about 24 hours before the weigh-in, I only had 17 pounds to go. I shouldn't say only 17, but I had 17 pounds to go, and that was just water weight. I lost that in about 22 hours, and it was suffering, man. It was tough.
You do like a sauna, sit in a trash bag inside of a sauna?
Yeah, I don't do the trash bag, but a sauna helps, a hot bath, anything with heat seeking, you know, you can sweat. But eventually your body quits sweating. I mean, that's the other thing, too. It's not like you just have endless water.
At that point, you're dying, right?
Yeah, at that point, your body's starting to shut down. It's rough.
So what do guys eat once they weigh in, and then they obviously have, because everyone, you know, cuts weight, then what do you usually, what's your plan like 24 hours before a fight? What do you eat, and like how do you get your weight back up to a comfortable level where you feel strong again?
My post-weighing-in meal was the same for the big part of my career, which was just a club sandwich, French fries with a side of ranch, and a Coca-Cola big enough to swim in. And that was the immediate meal. But you know, when you're starving and you're cannibalizing your body like that, your stomach shrinks immensely. So as hungry as you are, it's very tough to get too much food down.
Does Dana White wear an Ed Hardy shirt underneath his Ed Hardy shirt?
I have no idea. Does he wear Ed Hardy? I don't even know what his attire is.
I'm just assuming it's Ed Hardy.
Made. He has his own printer that only makes shirts for him. That's why when you see a Dana shirt, you can't go to the store and buy it. They're all unique.
Do you think entrance music matters?
I didn't hear you. What's that?
Do you think entrance music matters?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know that it helps anybody, but the crowd seems to enjoy it. I mean, I've heard some real dud songs get played. I remember BJ Penn was walking out for the world title, and he was playing Phil Collins. And I just know being live in the house, it kind of brought the mood down a little bit. So music's fun, man. Music's a lot of fun, but I don't know that it helps the athlete.
See, I usually have a little bit of a gambling problem, so I like to bet on fights just based on the entrance music. So if you're saying that it doesn't matter, I should probably reconfigure this whole situation.
Hey, man, that's really not a bad way to go. I am an analyst in this sport. I get paid as a professional to know what I'm talking about, and I'm the single worst predictor of fights that I know. It drives my mom crazy. She's like, why are you so bad at this? But, you know, maybe I should go to your way. Maybe it should all come down to the entrance music.
So we've had John Anik as a recurring guest on this show. You want to talk a little shit about him and like maybe stir the pot a little bit?
Anik's a man. He's skilled. I used to work with him out at ESPN. And, I've just watched him grow. The thing about Anik and the reason he's made it so far in that space, he's the hardest working guy. He's the first one in the office every day. He's the first one prepping. He's the last one to leave the set.
Mm. Huh, that's not what he said about you.
Yeah. He's talking shit about your cauliflower here. He said he made him want to puke.
That's what he said. His words, not mine.
I understand.
Okay. Got a quick follow-up here for you. You've probably been asked this a lot. I wanted to see if you wanted to ask us if Floyd Mayweather could beat Conor McGregor. Do you want to ask me that?
Yeah, let's get your opinion. Do you guys think Floyd Mayweather could beat Conor McGregor?
I'm not sure. What do you think?
I actually...
That was back to chill.
Yeah, I see what you did there. But I actually do have a real opinion on this. I think Conor McGregor, if he had to box Floyd Mayweather in actual boxing rules, he would get beat so soundly, and he would not be able to touch Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's what's on the line there. If Conor could go with him in any capacity, it would ruin boxing.
Yep.
If you could take a guy who has never done something and put him with the greatest of all time, that's not great. That's not great for this. I come from an amateur wrestling background. There's not a man alive, no matter what kind of athlete he is or what he's done in any other walk of life, that could walk onto a wrestling mat and go 60 seconds with the best in the world. And by 60 seconds, I mean, it's much more like 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, that's really what's at stake, is the entire – reputation of boxing. And frankly, you know, boxing, man, there aren't many guys that do it. If you want to be a top 10 boxer in the world, raise your hand. I was 28 years old when I met my first boxer. 28 years. I used to live at the Olympic Training Center when I was 22. They had a boxing program, and I still never met a boxer. I don't know. No one in my family boxes. No one in my neighborhood boxes. No one in my school, my high school, my college. I never met a man that boxed. I could go a step further. I don't know where a boxing gym is. I could go a step further than that. I couldn't tell you where to go to buy boxing gloves.
Oof.
And now that I just said it, you guys and all your listeners are going, yeah, he's right. Nobody boxes. So there's really not a lot to it. Mayweather's very good at what he does, but he is in a sport that nobody participates in.
Right. But hold on. Now let me back up. Mayweather is an exceptional athlete, and I think more than anything – MMA fans don't realize the hand speed that goes into boxing and how Mayweather wouldn't get hit. Like, Conor McGregor would not be able to hit Floyd Mayweather. I'm convinced of it.
I would only correct you on one point, which is, yes, MMA fans do realize that. There is not a MMA fan out there, including Dana White, who believes Conor McGregor could go with Floyd Mayweather. We all understand what a spectacle it is. That doesn't mean we want to throw our money in and support our guy.
Right.
But we're all very well aware that Conor gets destroyed.
All right, we'll wrap this up with the final questions we ask everyone. First one is, do you wash your apples?
Oh, of course.
What? Ooh, come on.
You're from Apple Country, aren't you? The Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, I can tell you firsthand. Yes, I will rinse that thing off. If I go pick one off the tree, I'll use my shirt. But that waffle, everything's getting washed before it goes in my mouth.
Suddenly, your cauliflower doesn't seem so tough.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm not eating dirt, man. I'm not looking to eat pesticides.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. I could take you, I guess. Second to last question: who is the most famous person in your cell phone?
Most famous person on my cell phone. Let's see. Well, I had Donald Trump in my cell phone for a number of years. I would assume he's got a new phone number now. I haven't tried it. If I'm taking Trump out, I'll go with Kenny Chesney.
Mm. Do you want to try calling Trump's old number?
Yeah, let's just add him in. Just link him in.
As it turns out, I do not. I do not want to do that.
Oh. All right, well.
Oh, P-word.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So you don't wash your apples and you don't want to call President Trump. President-elect, sorry. Final question.
Correct.
Question I'm going to ask. You don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. How much of a dick is Dana White for real?
Off the record.
Off the record. Man, we'll cut this part.
He's the best. Look, I don't know if you guys have met him. He's the best. He's awesome. But if you're asking if he could be tough when he needs to be tough, yeah. I mean, he's a manager. He's managing not just a company but an entire industry. And, yeah, you got to be tough. So can Dana do his job and be a dick? Yeah, you bet he can.
Okay. And I have one more question. You don't have to answer. I'm going to ask it anyways. You don't have to admit to any wrongdoing in the past, but Big Ken and I have always talked about, like, just recreationally doing some steroids. If, like, a Fisher-Price, my first PED, what would you recommend to two out-of-shape guys like us? Not saying that it's something you would ever do, but as a coach.
Sure.
Oh, buddy, I've done them all. Let's see here. If you were to use, I would say use testosterone for a couple of reasons. One, it's very effective, but two, it's also very affordable. One of the better ones out there, but it's a little more designer, and all designer means is it's more expensive, is growth hormone, which gets a terrible reputation because athletes have abused it. But as far as a medicine goes, you won't meet a doctor that tells you anything other than, you know, it's one of the greatest advancements we've made. So I'll go with testosterone and growth hormone as a second.
Okay.
I like it.
Sounds like a good start for us.
Yeah. Someone who just doesn't even try to get in shape, just maybe have a little more energy than no energy.
Get that tee up a little bit over here.
All right, Chael, thank you so much. Everyone, check out flowgrappling.com December 11th at 5:30 Eastern. Are you going to be part of this whole thing? Are you going to be announcing?
I'll be there live and in person. How exciting is that?
I'm excited. Submission Underground 2. I'm excited. I'm watching this. So John Bones Jones is the drummer. He's dead. Rest in peace. He's dead, just so you know. Yep. John Bones Jones will be there. It's going to be a great fight. Chael, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
And now for something completely different.
All right. We now welcome on a very special guest who we've actually been hunting down for a little bit now.
Coach, that doesn't sound creepy at all.
Yeah, that doesn't sound creepy. Yeah, not stalking, just hunting.
Pursuing.
Coach, there's a major difference between the two.
Yeah, right. Coach PJ Fleck from Western Michigan. I'm going to say it right now, the hottest coach in the country. Is that fair?
I would not say that. I think my wife calls me maybe the hottest coach in the country. I appreciate that, honey.
All right.
She's over here to my left. So, oh, yeah, sure.
Is there a coach that has lost less recently than you?
Maybe Nick Saban.
Yeah, Nick Saban.
Okay, so you're in the same conversation as Nick Saban. You and him are 1-1A right now.
Yeah.
In other words.
I don't know about that.
So let's start there. Western Michigan, the only other undefeated team besides Alabama. Do you think you guys got snubbed?
No, not at all. I'll be honest with you. I think we fit exactly where we needed to be. If we didn't make the Cotton Bowl, yes, I would have thought we got snubbed. But I understand the whole playoff system. I understand what it's about. I understand the strength of schedule. I get it. Now, if you go 13-0 and 13-0, I think you deserve a shot in the Final Four. I really do. Same thing with a Boise State or a Houston or a Group of Five team that does that. But if you just do it 1 year, remember, we've only won one championship bowl game, right, in our entire program's history. This is our third MAC championship ever. So I think we're going to have to put some strings together for that to happen. But I get it. I understand it. And we're extremely pleased to be going to the Goodyear Cotton Bowl.
Do you realize that if you beat Wisconsin in the Cotton Bowl, you are then Big Ten West champions because you basically beat the whole
MAC West champs plus Big Ten.
Yeah, because you
West
beat
champs,
what?
Sure.
Northwestern. Would you guys play Purdue?
We played Illinois.
Illinois, and then you'd beat Wisconsin. So, yeah, you'd have that clean as well.
Yeah, we would, but I think Paul Chris would have something to say about that as well. So
true.
He's
That's
a phenomenal
fair.
Football coach.
That's Do fair. You blame Washington for not scheduling you guys on their schedule?
I don't even know if they ever would schedule us on their schedule, to be honest with you.
Because they're afraid or?
Yeah.
No, definitely not. Not Chris Peterson.
At the boatyard?
A little home. That might be nice. There's a lot of boats that pull in over there in Seattle. That actually might be a nice little matchup there. You know, you can kind of go all the way around the entire world.
Right.
And then come back over to Kalamazoo, Michigan. That'd be perfect.
That's right. Yeah. The sail gaining scene over there is pretty wild, I hear. That's
it
something
is.
I want to
it's
do.
Phenomenal.
So let's talk about Row the Boat because it has captivated the nation. I'm going to say that. I'm a Mac guy, so I probably am a little biased, but I think Row the Boat has captivated the nation. Explain it to us in, you know, a few sentences what Row the Boat means. And kind of how everyone has bought into the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. The Row the Boat mantra is a never give up mantra. The oar is the energy that you bring to your life and everything that's involved in your life. The boat is the sacrifice. What are you willing to give up for something that you never had? And the third part's the compass. And that's the direction of your life, which you'll be surrounded by the people that you put yourself around. So if you put yourself around elite people, you're going to be elite. Put yourself around turds, you're headed towards Turdville. It's very simple. And when you row a boat, you can't see where you're going. That's the future. You row in the present, which is the only thing you can control. Looking at the past, which is the only thing you can learn from. It is not that hard of a concept. It's a nursery rhyme, for gosh sakes.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. That's why I picked it.
I'm kind of halfway between turd and elite myself. For our listeners, who I suspect a lot of them are out there like me. You know, we're trying to find, we're trying to use our compass and get to the right place. How can we become more elite?
Get yourself around amazing people, right? Make sure that you have a vision and work yourself backwards. Make something ahead in your life. Come up with a dream or a vision that absolutely scares the heck out of you, like freaks you out.
Okay.
That you absolutely want to happen, but the process scares you. And then that's a perfect one because that's big enough.
Okay.
How's
so
that?
That scared me a little bit. So I think I'm on the right track just even considering
actually,
that.
I think I even have a gift for you in my pocket. Maybe I'll give you this. Yeah, how about that?
Oh.
Right here. Hey,
what do we have?
I got a compass for
what
you.
What is that? Is that a great coin?
That's an absolute compass coin that's in my pocket right now. That's a gift to you for having us on the show. We appreciate that.
No, thank you.
I'm a lazy.
So just hold on to that. Put it in your pocket, and it'll just happen naturally.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Watch what happens tonight. Watch who flocks around you.
Mm. Okay, so
I'm here.
I'm a big Joe Flacco guy. I'm
a big Tom Flacco guy. Who's our quarterback?
Yeah, so I'm the one out there. I'm trying to lead the charge to convince people that Joe is an elite quarterback. Do you see Tom becoming an elite quarterback?
I really do. I think they're two different style quarterbacks. Joe is big, pocket passer. Tom is a little bit smaller, incredibly competitive, and more of a runner. But he's got an incredible arm. He's become very accurate, and the future's bright with Tom Flacco.
Cool. So I'm kind of a lazy guy. I want to go back to the boat thing for a second. Have you ever thought about a motorboat-like situation? Maybe, like, let's just hang out, have a couple beers, maybe a pontoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like steer the pontoon.
And turn up Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, chill on that chair and drink
chill
a beer.
Chill on the
and,
chair, mow the yard.
Yeah, right.
You just, know what? You might be right. Mow the yard might work. You know? Yeah, I think you're probably right. No, you know, if you do want to stop rowing and just sit in the middle of the lake and have a beer, you're more than welcome to do that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, just make sure everybody else in the boat knows that so they don't have to work as hard. You know what I mean? They have to at least, everybody has to stop and have a beer then.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be the dead weight.
You can't be the only guy.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Don't be the anchor.
Yeah, don't be the anchor. All right, so can you, I know you guys have been very gracious with your time. You're going out to dinner tonight. So can you quickly motivate our listeners? A lot of them are kind of lazy like me, so can you give like a 30-second here's how
I want you to stand up. Okay, walk to your bathroom. I'm gonna give you some time. Walk to your bathroom. Okay, you're probably at your bathroom right now. Now
that's
look in the mirror.
House,
and all I want you to do
that's a pretty big house. Far,
you had to get
away.
Up pretty fast. I don't want you to look in the mirror, and all I want you to do is tell yourself, I can do it, and I can change my best, and I can do it with a necktie mentality, a Prefontaine pace, and a farmer's alliance. I can row the boat. Damn it, I can row the boat.
I'm ready to run through a brick wall.
Yeah.
This hotel is not even built out of brick, but I'm going to run through a brick wall right now.
And you can get up out of your couch.
Yeah.
Actually, we can get up out of our chairs. Yeah. You know, that'd be great.
All right, final three questions we ask everyone, all of our guests. First question, do you wash your apples?
Absolutely, but I only pour a little bit of water on it, and that's it. And I think that's sufficient.
What do you mean a little bit of water?
I take the apple, I put it underwater, and then I take a bite out of it.
Just a little?
You're afraid of dirt?
Yeah.
Ooh. No, just weird just viruses and bacteria that will be
what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, though.
That
it's
is
like a
true.
Vaccine.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Change your best.
Interesting.
You're right. Okay. Failing is growth.
Yeah. Think about that.
Okay.
Maybe. No,
babe,
I'm not saying.
Babe, let's not wash the apples anymore.
Yeah, now
you know what? We're sticking with our culture. We're gonna wash the apples.
I'm not gonna tell you how to do your job, but wherever you know, if row the boat, if you end up going to another row the boat, you know, situation, you need to have maybe you retire, row the boat, and you got a new thing. It's don't wash your apples.
Don't wash your apples.
Just tell everyone to buy in.
That has a hell of a ring to it.
Yeah. Row the boat. Don't wash your apples.
You're a genius, big cat. Just tell him he's a genius.
Yeah, just
I got my flu shot.
Okay.
Does that help?
I actually got my flu shot too, so I'm a walking contradiction with my non-apple washing.
Yeah, well, there you go. Right there. I knew it'd come out sooner.
Not really walking though. Mostly sitting on my couch.
Yeah,
contradiction.
All right. Second last question: who is the most famous person on your cell phone?
Rocky Balboa.
Ooh,
can we call
Sly?
Him?
Absolutely not.
Oh,
Sylvester Stallone. Yeah, he's probably the most popular guy. Yes.
Did he? Yeah. Let's give him a call.
He won't mind.
He wouldn't mind, guys. You know, he wouldn't mind rowing the boat for us either. You know, just talking to us. Maybe he'll give us 15, 20 minutes on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, here he is.
Yeah. Hey, yo, what's up? Hey, pop my tank. I'm a big fan. Oh, God. Hey, I got to go. All right, bye.
Hey, Sly, thanks for joining us.
Yeah. all right, final question. Question I'm going to ask that you don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. Are you going to run Chip Kelly's offense at Oregon?
You guys come up with these questions.
I was just asking. You know. just
we run our offense at Western Michigan University. How's that?
Okay.
All right. That's a good answer.
That's a great answer. PJ Fleck, thank you so much for letting us track you down. Finally.
This was actually the most fun interview I've ever had in my entire life. This is amazing.
Guess what?
I wish every one of our interviews was just like this.
Thank you.
Now you're a recurring guest of the show, friend of the program. So we'll just stalk you some other time.
Yeah,
and track
you guys
down.
Got like a hat for me or something.
No, we'll send you a shirt.
We've got a GPS coordinating thing that we put on your person somewhere.
Yeah, When I slapped
so
you on the back,
track you down later.
That was that. Yeah, we're not friends. That was just,
babe, check your purse.
Yeah, making sure to check. So, PJ Fleck, thank you so much. Thank you for motivating our listeners.
Yeah, and
listeners.
Thank you for the compass.
Yeah.
Hopefully, everybody's still in the bathroom. So.
Actually, can you tell all of our listeners to subscribe and unsubscribe and resubscribe?
Unsubscribe and resubscribe.
And row the boat.
And row the boat.
Okay.
I feel like that will motivate people.
On, off. Yeah. Just keep rowing the boat.
Boom.
You got it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That interview was brought to you by MyBookie. You know who's going to win the game, right? It's time to put your money where your mouth is, get some money on the game, and score a big win today. Join thousands of online players just like me and start betting at MyBookie. I'd only recommend a service that I can trust, and this is the one. That's why I'm urging you to go make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. And they have in-game live betting, so you can even place a bet after kickoff. Here's the deal for you. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with a 50% bonus. Use the promo code PMT to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie today or call 844-900-BETS, B-E-T-S. You play, you win, you get paid. Expert or rookie, you got to check out MyBookie. Sign up today.
That was PJ Fleck, and I just want to say that I'm going to carry that great coin around with me. And if I don't have it on me, Hank, I want you to call me out. So one thing that PJ taught us was about accountability. If I don't have the grit coin on me, then Big Cat has to do laps. So we're holding ourselves accountable, each other.
I don't really like this deal. But Okay. All right, let's do a few segments. We have, to start, Battle of the Sexes. We haven't actually had this segment in a while, but Pat Maroon.
What a lame last name.
Yeah, from the Edmonton Oilers. Had this to say the other night. He said, this is a man's game. People are going to get hit, get high-sticked. They're going to go through the middle and get hit. That's part of hockey, and that's why we have all this gear that protects us. So it's a man's game. Women, not allowed.
Women need not to play. Well, technically, the NHL is 100% dudes, right? It's a major sausage fest.
Sounds like he's right.
Yeah.
He also, did you see the tweet that he deleted?
I did see that one. The one where he said, I play hockey, not school.
Yes. So it's
also true.
Cardale Jones.
Uh-huh.
Didn't Cardale Jones, what was Cardale Jones?
I didn't come here to play school.
Yeah, didn't come here to play school. So yeah, he in the tweet that Pat Maroon deleted, he said, first of all, I'm not a sexist by any accounts.
So his mom's a woman.
Happy we cleared that up. I respect women and have the utmost respect to women hockey players. I was referring to the NHL when I stated it was a man's game, not hockey. So, like we just said.
Right. Here's where it went wrong. Anytime you want to say something like it's a man's game or anything like that, just put the word grown in front of it. Just say it's a grown man's game.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, now you're talking shit about
kids
and teenagers.
And no one likes kids.
Yeah, no one gives a shit about teenagers. So that's a nice, easy way to like get the same message across, but just gently deflect it.
He also then said, second, for all the people who are calling me, I will keep it PG, not smart. What's the un-PG?
Dumbass? Yeah. Probably. I'm guessing he was going with
Dumb Tookus. Dumb Tookus. Come on, man. Last time I checked, I play hockey, not school. No degree needed here. You should try it.
No degree here. You should. Yeah.
yeah, great.
If you can get away with not having a degree and playing hockey, not school, go for it.
Mm-hmm. And then finally said, third, the media quit taking this out of context. We're the reason you have this great job. Don't put words in my mouth. You knew damn well what I was referring to.
Respect to Biz coming right back at Maroon. Actually, the media is the reason why he has a job. If it wasn't for the journalists covering him, nobody would care.
You'd still be playing in your dad's
you'd be on the backyard, your
little
dad
pond.
Your dad'd be running a hose onto your cleats, your ice cleats.
A little soupy ice back there.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
So, Pat, why don't you back off, okay? Yeah. Why don't you stick to attacking women, all right?
Yeah,
and not steer clear of Big J journos.
And not playing school.
Mm-hmm.
Next we have King State Kings. This is quick. Jeff Fisher, he's the King State. He is the king. So he signed his new contract, right?
Yep.
Or his contract extension. This is why Jeff Fisher's the king. Because most people, they sign a contract extension, maybe they go out for a nice steak. They get a little lazy for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Fisher, he's right back at it. Couple things that sound bites I want to share with you. Jeff Fisher, three of our next four games are at home. We don't have to leave Pacific Standard Time anymore this year. Blame the time zones for your bad record.
Blaming the sun, actually.
Yep. Because I wasn't thinking, man, the Rams suck. because, you know, Jeff Fisher sucks. I was thinking the Rams suck. They've had to play in like every time zone.
Dude, like I told you, traveling east, it doesn't matter how far east you're traveling.
Yeah.
It's just if you travel east at all.
Here's another one. Rams head coach Jeff Fisher, we're on a record-setting pace with our punt team.
Yeah. Well, so, and you got to give a lot of credit to Jeff for that.
Yeah.
So he puts a lot of importance on the punt game, and Johnny Hecker's been kicking the ball like 75 yards. That's just good coaching.
Can't fire a coach who's setting records.
No.
And finally, we have this quote from Jeff Fisher on being the losingest coach in NFL history. You can look at it as glass half full or half empty.
That's a great point.
It is.
So you can be negative if you want.
Yeah.
And you can say, hey, this guy's lost more games than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can say, 'tis the season to give. It's better to give than receive. And coach has given other teams more victories than anyone else. He's like, he's the Santa Claus of wins.
You can also say glass half full. Jeff Fisher has somehow kept a job for 22 years, a very high-paying job, mm-hmm. even though he's borderline incompetent at it.
Mm-hmm.
Glass half full.
And since he's been such a bad coach, he's had to cut a lot of players, which means he's created new jobs for other players. So really, he's out there, he's lowering the unemployment rate.
Yeah, more jobs than Trump and keeping those factories
the carrier
in Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Come on, Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, you can be a pessimist if you want, but I'm going to be
optimistic. Yeah, go ahead, guys. Keep making fun of Jeff Fisher. Keep making your Jeff Fisher jokes.
Yeah. You know how Kirk Cousins said, like, there should be a separate Twitter for positive and negative?
Yeah.
Okay, we're it right now. We're in positive podcast. Okay?
Class.
You want to go listen to a negative podcast?
Yeah.
Take that down the line and tune into Serial.
Yeah.
Okay?
Glass half full.
We can relive the past and try to uncover who a murderer was, or we can sit here talking about how we never killed anybody and don't plan to in the future.
And
optimists.
Talk about our glass half full coach who's setting records.
Yep.
Sorry for setting records.
Optimism's 2020. You should try it sometime.
Sorry for raising the bar so much that people want, you know, will now have to achieve greater things.
Also, glass half full for Jeff Fisher. He is so bad at coaching that it's going to be really hard for any other coach to be as bad as him. So
makes everyone feel good.
So you've always got someone to point to and be like, hey, I'm not as bad as that guy.
Now, actually, that brings up a great point because there's very few untouchable records out there.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Fisher's losingest head coach in NFL history might be the untouchable record.
He's Rasputin, man.
Think about it, though, because they fire coaches now, like, instantly. If you lose, you get 2 years max.
Yeah, just look at the Jaguars. First sign of turning downhill, you're gone.
Okay, so actually, that's a good point. Once Gus Bradley gets fired, then there's no chance anyone will break Jeff Fisher's record.
It's like when somebody has a hitting streak that stops in, like, the 22nd game.
Right.
And you're like, wow, that was a really long streak. And then you look at the all-time when you're like, holy shit, Jeff Fisher lost 160
games. Joe DiMaggio and Jeff Fisher, the two records that will never be broken.
Tom Brady.
What was his record?
He most records in NFL history, 201.
Wait, so his record is that he holds the most records in the NFL?
No, most wins.
Oh, okay.
Brett
Favre
still could come back.
By one game, yeah. Brett Favre not out of the equation.
All right, hurt or injured, the mental health of the Panthers, what's going on there?
Yeah, so Ron Rivera, he said that after this most recent loss, he was concerned about their mental health. So I got to say that they're hurt. But it's because they're not dressing well enough. Like Cam Newton just got in trouble for the tie thing. We always say on the show, look good, feel good.
But,
so they don't look good, so they're depressed.
Disagree. Cam Newton looked good. So we also have a put it in the ear hole because Cam Newton, the whole, he didn't wear a tie, he's not part of the team. I think if you look good, it doesn't matter if you wear a tie or not. There should be a level of,
but Ron,
okay, that passes.
You don't understand. Ron Rivera's a military guy. You have to wear a tie.
True.
That's what he equates with looking good.
But they understand. Cam Newton said that the tie didn't go with his outfit. So.
Well, I think Cam Newton's been watching a little too much film on our friend Danny Cannell and seen the turtlenecks that he's been rocking. He was like, that guy looks really, 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 really good and not like a clown. So I'm going to dress up like that, too.
The Panthers, though, I would say they're injured. They're more than injured.
You know what?
They're dead.
Why doesn't Rivera lead by example and he can wear a tie on the sideline?
Jack Del Rio. Yes.
Mike Nolan. Great coach. Two of the all-time greats.
Mike Nolan. Mm-hmm. Great coach. Mike Nolan was, now what a spin zone. I suck at coaching, so I'm going to start wearing a tie like my father.
To honor my dead father.
Yeah. You guys going to fire me now?
Mm-hmm.
And they actually still did. Sabermetrics, Tim Tebow. This one's wild.
This is a huge one. Okay, so Tim Tebow went on the Harry Connick Jr. show today, and he told a story.
Well, I can't believe I missed it.
Great show. He told a story about how he wore the John 3:16 eye black back in college, right? Mm-hmm. And he said 3 years to the date after he wore that. By the way, he said 90 million people Googled John 3:16 when he wore it, not to brag. But
isn't it Austin 3:16?
Yeah, either way. It's the same passage.
Mm-hmm.
And so 3 years later, he was in the playoffs in Denver playing a little team called the Pittsburgh Steelers. You remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
Remember what happened that game?
Oh, yeah.
He won that playoff game?
Yep.
People forget that he won a playoff game one time. So that was actually 3 years to the day after he wore the 3:16. So he's walking to the media room after the game, and the Broncos PR guy pulls him aside and says, "Tim, do you know what you just did?" And I'm paraphrasing Tim. This is his way of telling a story. "Yeah, we just won a playoff game. It's incredible." No, Tim, I don't think you understand. Do you know what just happened?" He goes, "Yeah, we beat the Pittsburgh Steelers at home." "No, Tim, you don't get it. This is wild. 3 years ago, you wore this eye black." And Tim was like, "Oh, that's crazy." No, Tim, you don't get it. You just went out there and you passed for 316 yards. You just went out there and your yards per completion was 31.6. Tim, you just went out there and your yards per carry was 3.16. Tim, you just went out there and your time of possession was 31.6 minutes that game."
Whoa.
Now, quick sabermetrics. I crunched the numbers. I went back, checked the box score. It was actually 5 yards per carry, and it was actually 15 yards per passing attempt, not 31.6, and the Steelers' time of possession was 31.6.
But Tim said all these things.
But Tim did a little fuzzy math, but that's okay. But that just goes to show you.
Yeah. Think of it. It's something. All in the numbers, and basically what we found out are Tim Tebow has severe ADD theory.
The Adderall brain.
He is now in the portion of his career where he's just a Darren Revelle tweet.
Yeah.
He's just a walking Darren Revelle tweet. So that's fun for Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
We need him back in football.
Yeah. So he could play for the Brooklyn Cyclones and we could go out and be his best fans at games and pretend to faint and then he could come rescue us.
Yes, we need to do that. Actually, don't.
Anyone
all
listening
you people
out there,
listening right now,
honor code.
You pretend that you didn't hear that. This is a plan of ours. We're going to find Tim Tebow, and I'm going to pass. I think I should because I'm fatter, so it's like more
believable.
What does
that mean?
Heart attack. I'll be like, heart attack.
You just want to get mouth-to-mouth with Tebow. That's okay.
Tim Tebow touches me, and then PFT's like, "Oh, my God, I just saw a man be revived by Tim Tebow."
Yep.
So that's our plan. Honor code, don't ruin it.
Mm-hmm. PFT does it. You could do it face down. They think it's a girl. He comes even faster.
Oh, yeah. And then he fucks you.
Mm.
We also have a sabermetrics, Clay Thompson. This one actually is wild.
Mm-hmm.
So we joke about sabermetrics, but this one's crazy. Clay Thompson had 60 points, okay? 60 points on Monday night. He had the ball for a total of 88.4 seconds, and he dribbled a total of 11 times.
That's
on
my favorite
33
stat.
Shots.
That's my favorite stat is how many dribbles. It's like in a football game, how many jukes did a guy have?
Mm-hmm. So basically, Klay Thompson's not that good. He can just shoot a basketball.
Yeah, he's not
his teammates
dribble.
Do everything else.
He barely had he had a triple-double when you count the dribbles.
Right. Barely.
But barely. It was like one of those asterisk triple-doubles. Also, maybe it's because he doesn't smoke weed, so he's not lethargic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he was so efficient.
I hate that the Warriors are now doing what we all thought they were going to do, and they're like killing teams.
They're going to hit their low point. Just wait.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant's lurking.
Baby back bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we have a Stay Woke. As always, the rules with Stay Woke, we don't tell each other to Stay Wokes before. Mm-hmm. So this is a fresh one. You never get in another man's wokeness.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rule. That's a man law.
Yeah, you don't plow another man's field. You don't take another man's conspiracy away from him before he has a chance to tell it.
Right. So,
but, I think we should differentiate a little bit here between connect the dots and stay woke.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. Stay woke. It's just like, hey, just keep your head.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, watch out.
So just watch out. Just think about this.
Okay.
So there were two fans on the field at the Jets game last night.
Yep.
Right. Camera cut away from them, wouldn't show them. Don't want to encourage that type of behavior. Right. That's what they always say. Even though John Gruden was like talking about it and like, "Oh man, look at this guy, man. This guy, I call this guy a whirling dervish, man. Yeah. Look at him.
Remember when I coached for the Packers? Oh, look at this picture of me.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm so young."
Yeah. So, so they don't show the fans on the field, but then if you watch the news, it's all school shootings, it's all sex scandals, it's all arsons. It's all clowns, scary clowns out there. Why doesn't the news want to discourage that type of behavior? They should just stop. The news should stop showing all the bad stuff that happens. So it's work for them. They should follow the NFL's lead. Once again, Roger Goodell is a thought leader trying to improve society. So, hey, news, big news producers out there, maybe stop leading with mass murders.
Cut away from them and have Gruden just talk.
That's right. And then there won't be any more murders.
I don't hate it. It discourages. I bet you fan streakers are on the decline.
Yeah, absolutely. And life is a copycat league. If you see somebody out there dressing up as a clown on the news, you're going to do the same thing.
True. The clowns are gone, though. Remember, that was part of Trump's presidency.
They're coming back. Scaring people. I got a feeling they're coming back.
Okay. All right. All right. That's the show. Oh, we have a shout out to JJ Watt, right?
I do. Yeah. It's really the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show was last night. So shout out to JJ Watt's wrist.
Yeah.
He loves that show.
He likes
to. Doesn't miss it.
He loves that
likes
show.
Likes a little too much.
Because remember, JJ Watt doesn't watch porn.
No.
So this is as close to porn as you can get on regular cable.
Yeah, without Nana finding the on demand bill.
Yeah, you don't want to let JJ Watt get his hands on the Macy's coupons. The coupon calendar.
Thing. No, or the Sears catalog.
Yeah, the Sears catalog. Ooh,
yeah, that's why
there might be some flesh colored bras in there that JJ is going to start jerking off to.
That's why when he's so good at intercepting balls with one hand, he's got that sticky hand.
Yeah.
That
eggnog hand.
Eggnog.
All right, that's our show. We have West Virginia head coach Dana Holgorsen. He was in studio. We have him on Friday.
We did some sabermetrics with him too. We're going to tell you exactly how many Red Bulls he drinks in a day.
Yep.
So stay tuned.
And we will see you on Friday.
Love you guys.
Presented by Barstool Sports.